Amen. Pentecost Sunday. Welcome to Pentecost Sunday. I just want to let everyone know that you're off the hook. As of 4:45 yesterday afternoon, now mind you, at 5:30, church service begins for the Saturday worship service. And I looked at my bride, I said, Jess, I don't know exactly how I'm going to start the message, and church starts in 45 minutes. How should I do this time around? I'm either going to do something kind of interactive with the congregation or tell a story. And she said, oh, by all means, tell the story. Don't do an interactive thing with the congregation. I said, well, that's fine. That's how we'll start this out today. And that is where I'm going to go to begin with. This father and this son. The father is so excited. He is taking his son to his first hockey game ever. The son has never been to a hockey game. He's so excited about this. And while they're at the game, there's a wonderful contest going on. If your two seats are chosen, you get a date with the goalie to go out for dinner the next night. And sure enough, there they are, father and son, they're sitting there cheering on their team at the hockey game. And sure enough, here comes the announcement of the seats that have won, and it's these two. They have won the tickets to go out for dinner with the goalie. So the next night, the goalie picks them up. They go out for dinner, and they're sitting there at the restaurant, and they order their drinks, and the waiter's looking at them and says, boy, these guys look really familiar. Why do I know these guys? Well, anyways, he goes, he gets the drinks, and he comes back, and he serves the drinks. He takes their food order, and he writes the food order down, and as he's going to the kitchen to hand in the food order, he says, it hit me. I was at that hockey game last night, too, and I know exactly who is sitting in front of me now. It's that father and the son and the goalie host. A little Trinity fun on our Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday, what does it all mean? You know, I struggled with it even up to the beginning of this whole week, kind of trying to figure out exactly how this was going to go. I know as a young kid, I remember the church being decorated with the red, the yellow, the orange, like it is today. And I remember going to church and saying, it's Pentecost Sunday. And the thing that I really, really, really remember most about Pentecost Sunday is that it always would start somewhere at the beginning of the summer. So, you know, at first I'm thinking maybe Pentecost Sunday just marks the beginning of summer vacation or something like that for us or something, and that's the church year indicating that. But I have come to find out and come to realize that there is so much more to Pentecost Sunday than maybe we even realize. In fact, in preparation for this week's message, I had one pastor that I was kind of reading about, and he said, Pentecost Sunday, now all, don't get me wrong, all Sundays are important. All Sundays are important to come to church. But he said, Of some of our biggest ones in our Christian world, Christmas, Easter, Pentecost ranks right up there with all of them. And it kind of hit me. I was like, well, what in the world does that mean? Because, and it says, well, it's that Sunday where we celebrate the fact that Jesus has ascended into heaven, and yet we are being filled with the Holy Spirit. And so that we can do and be the works of God. And we can do and do the works that God has built us to do. And I was like, wow, that's kind of amazing to me to think that Pentecost Sunday, a Sunday that I just hadn't even really thought about too much as a child and too much as a kid, is really as significant as that. And that's where we're at, folks, and how wonderful is that for us today. So I wanted to spend a little bit of time taking a look at how it is that we can kind of become a little bit more knowledgeable about how we can help serve the Lord, because that's what it's all about. The Spirit of the Lord is within us, and now it's time for us to take that and go out and do that, be the hands and feet of Christ. Well, how in the world am I going to do that? Well, I kind of been reflected on that this week, and I thought to myself, one of the ways that I could possibly do that is through prayer. I can prayfully think to myself and prayfully think, what is it, Lord, that you're looking at that you see in me. That Spirit is coming into me. That Spirit is becoming part of my faith journey. So now, how does that look? And one of the other things that really, really has helped me in the past too is not only praying, but having prayer partners. I had a couple of guys that were just absolutely dynamite for me. That we were prayer partners in this Bible study, and it continued all the way for the next couple of years because we just didn't want to lose that ability to be partners and share. And sometimes those prayer partners, they helped me identify some of the things that I could do in my walk with Christ so that I too can do the works and be the hands and feet of Christ. So we have prayer. We have prayer partners. The other thing that I was thinking about this week was the possibility of just really kind of diving into the scripture a little bit more. And if you ever get the opportunity, and if you've already done this, that is wonderful. But if you ever get the opportunity to do it and haven't yet, I would strongly encourage you to take some kind of Bible study class of some sort. They are offered throughout the church, you know, on a regular basis. And one of the courses I got to take back in my church in Illinois was Disciple. And it was kind of funny. The very first thing we do before we dive into the scriptures and start talking to each other about what we gathered from the scriptures that we would read each week, they ask you to sit with the Bible right in front of you and just think about what you're going to experience as you go through this class. And my buddy Jorge was in the class. Jorge and Faith were a wonderful couple. They had kids about Ambry's age, and so I got to know them really, really closely, and their kids were in our Sunday school class, and so we got to know each other pretty well, and Jorge and I became pretty good friends. But he was so funny the first night we were talking about it in disciple class. He, you know, because we were talking about what'd that feel like to have that Bible in front of you like that? And he said, you know, it's funny because I'm using the Bible app as I go through this disciple class, so I could reflect on what the Bible was going to do, but it was kind of weird for me to sit there with my phone just in front of me like that. Any way you can kind of get that, you know, you do have a Bible app, any way you can do it, that sounds really great. To be diving into scriptures a little more. Now, one of the things that I was gathering at the beginning of this week was the fact that I think it's difficult sometimes to totally understand Pentecost for me. Now, for some folks might be like, oh, I'm going to shut you off right now for the next couple of minutes because Pentecost totally makes great sense, and that is absolutely wonderful. But for me, it was kind of tricky, and I realized why that is because the Holy Spirit, as it's coming down in the scriptures today and filling us, it's not a real visible thing. You know, it's not like if I had to draw a picture of the Holy Spirit, I wasn't sure exactly what I would draw for you. Maybe the flame, since that's what represented here today in our scriptures. Maybe that flame is what I would draw, something like that. But, you know, I was like thinking about it. I was like, this is really, yeah, how do you explain the Holy Spirit to people? What does that look like? And it kind of reminded me of when I was back in Illinois. I'm a school social worker by trade, and we would go and be a part of meetings and help students who are having some difficulties in different classrooms and different classes and try to help them with some interventions to see if those interventions would help, and if not, then maybe they could qualify for even more in-depth services, some special services of some sort. And that was kind of our role. And it hit me this week that, you know, when we were talking in meetings about those kiddos and having the discussion, if the issue the kiddo was having was a physical thing, it was extremely obvious for us. You know, if a kiddo needed to wear glasses, we knew that maybe they were having some issue with their sight. But what about those kiddos that or having difficulty maybe internally, emotionally, or something like that, and it wasn't always necessarily visible? That became a little bit more of a struggle for us of how to help them and how to do things for them and stuff, because it hit me. It's not as visible. And that's why it's kind of tricky maybe to say, what does this Holy Spirit look like, or what does this Holy Spirit all mean, because it's not as visible. And then, as I read the passage in John this week, it came to me and said to me, you know what? It's a lot more visible to us than we realize. And when I was talking with Pastor Scott this week about visibly seeing Pentecost, one of the things we talked about was taking a look at different church services. You know, here we're singing songs about Pentecost. We're talking about, hey, Holy Spirit, come down and be a part of me and help me understand exactly who I am and what it is that I'm trying to do and be. We're singing those songs today. Now, in some churches, we wouldn't just stand and sing these things. You're moving like this. I had an opportunity when I was in Illinois. One of my first jobs was I worked just on the south of Chicago a little ways at a residential facility for some youth. These guys had gotten themselves in some pretty good trouble, and this treatment center was one of their last opportunities before they would potentially go to jail or go to juvenile or JDC, juvenile detention center, or something like that. During the time one of our young men was in the group, his grandmother passed away. And his grandmother was a member of a church on the west side of Chicago. And the city of Chicago can be an interesting city to drive in. So I guess everybody kind of looked around each other, okay, who's driving them, you know, up to Chicago? And I was like, you know, guys, I honestly don't mind driving in cities. I'll take him up to the funeral. So up we went. And I will tell you, I sat down before the funeral began, or the celebration of life is what it really was. I sat down for a few moments, and that was the end of sitting all the way through the burial. Because we were up, we were singing, we were dancing, we were praising God. And that's the way that church just is, constantly, all the time. And that's the interesting way of kind of seeing how we all kind of, when the Spirit moves us, and how we do it from a standpoint of during the service. Now, outside of the service, what does Pentecost kind of look like for us? Well, I'll tell you what, as I was looking and reading through all the scriptures today, it hit me that the big piece of what Pentecost Sunday means to us and what the Spirit means is through our spiritual gifts. Every day, then, when we are doing something that involves our gifts that God has given us, we are showing how the Spirit is moving inside of us. And all of a sudden, Pentecost Sunday makes an awful lot more sense for me. Because we're seeing the Spirit moving in us each and every day of our lives. I see it in this church all the time. I see it when the choir stands up here and they sing. Those folks are using their spiritual gifts of singing to praise God. And that's what Pentecost Sunday, the Holy Spirit's all about. The Holy Spirit. Now we're not going to, like in the scripture, I'm sure we're not going to have a flame come down. We're all going to talk in different languages. No. But we are all going to do our own things that shows that we are and can be the working hands and feet of Christ. Because we're showing our gifts. And that's what's so incredible to me when I think about Pentecost Sunday and what it kind of signifies. It signifies that we all have those gifts that make us who we are and how we are in our walk with Jesus Christ. I see it not just in the choir. I see it sometimes when our organist is playing. I see it when Pastor Scott is preaching to us. Through Pastor Scott, you know, he's got that gift of being able to speak to people. That is also a way that he is showing his spiritual gifts as well. I see it in council meetings or trustees meetings. I see it, the people using their spiritual gifts to be able to help make some decisions that are very, very important to our church. I see that all the time. And once I was able to stop and think about that, it all started to make a little bit more sense. What the Holy Spirit looks like. No, we're not all going to start talking in different languages right this very second. But we are all filled with that Holy Spirit. And we are all given those gifts that help us do and be the hands and feet of Christ, which is what we heard, I firmly believe, particularly in that passage from John today. Now, if you're curious about how is it that I can know exactly how I can help be the hands and feet of Christ, one of the things I'd encourage you to do is we had a chance to do what they call this wired class, but yeah, I think you could probably do it on your own. It's like many of you have already done this. It's a spiritual gifts inventory. Some of us maybe have already done these things, and what you can do is you answer a bunch of questions, and there's a bunch of different topics in it. You have like mercy, you have prayer, you have, one of them was carpentry, and I scored a 0 on that one. So if you need home improvement, that would not be my spiritual gift. But for some, that was really, really high for them, and that's the kind of things they can do. They can be the hands and feet of Christ by helping build things, and I've seen that at Redbird Mission when we go down to Kentucky. I've seen that. Let's think about Honduras. You take a look at what we do as a church here. If you take a look at the back of your GPS today, you can see one of the biggest things we do that shows that the Spirit is filling us with those solar oven projects. There are so many great things, and Pentecost Sunday reminds us to reflect on the fact that the Spirit is in us, and this is what we are called to do, is show and demonstrate our gifts as best we can. Now, I'm going to have a video here before I close up things with a couple of other thoughts of a gentleman that definitely showed his spiritual gifts in an incredible fashion. Incredible fashion. He, Sir Nicholas Winton, some of you may have heard the name and know a lot about this, and some of you maybe you're going to get introduced to him. But you talk about having the flame come down to you and being filled with the Spirit and figuring out exactly what you're called to do. This man took it and then some. He was responsible for saving 669 children during the Holocaust in World War II. And if we're all ready, we'll take a look at this clip here of this gentleman.
There are some stories which we're not only an audience to, but may become their participants. Nicky's story came out by accident after this scrapbook surfaced after gathering dust for decades. Once it did, though, it set about a whole chain of incredible events.
That's me before I left for England. But until 1988, I had no idea who had rescued me from all but certain death. It was this old man who had saved my life and that of hundreds of others in the Second World War. Yet for 50 years, we knew nothing about him.
Four children. This is his scrapbook. There are all kinds of fascinating pictures in it. Perhaps you can see this is a picture of Nicholas Winton himself with one of the children he rescued. If you look at the very back of this scrapbook, fascinating things in it, all the letters. But back here is the list of all the children. This is Vera Diamant, now Vera Gissing. We did find her name on his list. Vera Gissing is with us here tonight. Hello, Vera. And I should tell you that you are actually sitting next to Nicholas Winton.
Hello.
I wore this around my neck, and this is the actual pass that we were given to come to England. And I'm another of the children that you saved.
Can I ask, is there anyone in our audience tonight who owes their life to Nicholas Winton? If so, could you stand up, please?
Everybody has to learn to live with everybody else, regardless of creed or religion.
I never thought what I did 70 years ago was going to have such a big impact as apparently it has. And if it has now got a story which helps people to live for the future, well, that will be an added bonus.
To me, that's just an incredible demonstration of someone who has a spirit located in them and finding a way, their way of knowing how they can be the hands and feet of Christ. Now, this next week, my family and I are headed back to Illinois. And I know the Spirit of the Lord is going to be with us during this whole trip. I'm not 100% sure how it's all going to look just yet, but I know God will be with us. As many of you know, my father passed away in February, and this weekend we're going to bury him right next to my brother, right at about 30 years to the day that we buried Bill, my brother, in the exact same spot. And I know I'm not 100% sure what it's all going to look like yet, but one thing I do know is that Christ will be right there with us the entire way that we're going through that service next weekend. And as Pastor Scott is continuing his series this summer of looking at different religions, I'll throw a little challenge out to you, because as he said, if you can gain a little bit of an appreciation for other services and other religions and that kind of thing, if you can gain a little bit more of an appreciation for that, your faith will grow. I encourage us, as the summer is now upon us, that maybe we can take a few moments, one Sunday somewhere, and attend a church service at a different church. And if you're really out and about, particularly in a spot that has places of worship for another religion, I encourage you to possibly do that. I know one group in our church that has already accomplished that. They accomplish that almost every year. It's our youth group. They had a tremendous trip down to Denver to visit a mosque, a synagogue, and an all-black Methodist church. And they said that. And one theme that I definitely heard from my daughter after all of that was done, she said, and she wrote pages about it. It was amazing. But she said, "Daddy, they were all so welcoming and just really, really showed an incredible heart. And it was just an absolutely wonderful experience to do that." And as a result, I can promise you that our faith in Jesus Christ and our faith in our Lord will grow because we gain that appreciation. And as a result, we'll become a little bit more and more aware of what the Spirit holds within us. So may it be this week that you're able to reflect on what Pentecost is all about, that the Holy Spirit is within you, and what that looks like to you to carry on and be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. And may all of this